Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, July 30th, 2017. We're going to talk about mischief today, something that many of us in this world have participated in one way or another, and I'm hoping to lend a little insight into that, maybe some humor, because it's very important to be able to laugh at some of our stuff. I want to remind you that these radio programs, like everything on the Aspire website, is made for humankind. It's there to serve you in the spiritual way. No, not everybody gets it. Not everybody understands it. And yada-da-yada-da, just like same thing that people have had with any great teachings that have touched the world. Buddha's teachings, Jesus, Lao Tzu, they're not easy teachings. We've kind of watered them down, as it were, and made them innocuous, but they really are very, very powerful, and they do start some trouble, and that's why we're going to talk a little bit about mischief today. Okay, but all of the programs that you see on the Aspire website, if you go to aspire.org, are there because of my sponsors, people who, well, I don't want to say believe, but have an inkling of how important all of this really is, that you serve humankind in many different ways. And one of the most important that I can ever think of is to up the spiritual ante a little bit, to be able to come and listen and understand the nature of what it means to truly awaken and find authentic joy that lasts forever. And that's what this is all about, to help you understand the nature of yourself, the nature of love that lives within you, and how it works through meditation and insight. It is not a philosophy I am teaching here. It is a way of life I am offering you. And I hope that you find it meaningful. If you do, you can thank my sponsors. They are the ones who make all this possible. Without them, there wouldn't be any TV programs. There wouldn't be any radio programs. You would not be listening to me. And I hope that if you enjoy these broadcasts, that you will help us by becoming a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see there a little button there that says support on the main page. Now, everybody ignores that normally, but maybe you're going to want to hit this button. If you do, the little submenu will come down. It says, why support Aspire? And it will tell you all about what it means to give, forgive in a way, and where your donations go and how we treat them. And you can sign up right there to become a sponsor. And for your sponsorship, you get some really lovely gifts. The message of the month, the commentaries, podcasts, video casts, all there for you, and 122 discourses that I've done over the 44 years of my existence as a teacher, from TV programs that I've done. They're all there for you to inform, hopefully, to awaken, hopefully, and to help you on your path. And they're on all sorts of different subjects that are meaningful. Let's get on with it here, Greg. I could go on. The first question from Gregor. Now, Gregor, I don't hear many names like this. I'm Gregory, Greg, whatever you want. But Gregor, that's a great name. Now, that is, I love it. When I saw it on the email, I just thought, wow, what an unusual, beautiful name, and bless you for that. Your parents must have been a beautiful baby, if you know what I mean. Gregor says, you offer to all of us this idea of mischief. You often refer to it. What does that mean, mischief, Gregor? He doesn't tell me where he lives. Gregor, we make mischief. This is not my word, but I love it. It comes from the Buddha, and I love Buddha. I love how beautiful he is, his essence. And rather than saying you're an idiot or a fool, he calls us mischief makers. The word mischief means playful misbehavior or troublemaking. in children especially. Playfulness that is intended to tease, mock, or create trouble. Harm or trouble caused by someone, and that's the way Buddha would have been using it. So those are your dictionary definitions. We make mischief. We do it through so many ways. One way is the way we think in terms of our value system. It's full of mischief, troublemaking. We have rules of engagement, rules that we believe in, that thou shalt not steal unless we're doing it. Thou shalt not lie unless we're lying. We have all sorts of double standards in our value system. And even though we'd like to believe, you know, that we're upright, wonderful people, we're not. We're just not. We do a lot of mischief making, and we don't pay attention to our mischief because the whole society is about mischief. Everyone in this society is making mischief one way or another. So that's why we don't see it. It isn't that we're stupid or, you know, we don't get it. We get it. We understand what we're doing, but we just don't care. So my mischief would be something like starting a spiritual path, let's say, and then skipping over the parts that I think might be difficult, like forgiving would be a very difficult one for a lot of people. Giving is definitely a hard one for everybody. The whole idea of sitting quietly, wanting nothing with all of your heart, that would be a difficult one. All of these things that I've just offered to you here are ways in which we create mischief. The biggest mischief, of course, is that of side pathing. Of thinking you're in a practice, and then it starts to get tight, and it starts to become a little more difficult than what we had anticipated, because it requires discipline, and people don't like discipline. They don't like to be disciplined, and they don't like the word discipline. So what do? They try to find another philosophy or teacher or something that side paths them into an easier life where they can just, you know, let their pedestrian mentality just hang out and just live by it. That's mischief. We get into mischief when we know that we need to do something forgiving, kind, generous, you know, with someone, but we choose not to. Or we start some trouble in our life by not acquiescing to generosity or loving kindness. All of these little things that I've given you are ways in which we work upon ourselves in a kind of a negative way. And when we do something like that, we are mischief making. And Buddha referred to it as mischief when he wanted to say, you know, something like, you're no good, baby, you're no good. When he was talking about, you know, the things we think, say, and do that are unkind. And he was trying to help us understand what the nature of that is all about. He would say it is our mischief that keeps us from the way. He would be correct, too. It is our mischief. We get into mischief when we gossip, when we try to hurt someone, when we're being vengeful and we think we're doing it rightfully so. This is how it all happens for us. And we keep this thing going and going and going and going, and we become mischief makers rather than progressing in the heart. So when we see someone else doing something that is unkind or trespassing against us, we find it easy to say, well, you know, they did this and, you know, they did that. We get all head up over that, but we don't see our own beam in our own eye. We just don't see it. And that's what creates the mischief. Now, a lot of this mischief, Gregor, is caused because of karma. We live in our genetic dispositions, which is quite pathetic if you think about it. We're unkind, genetically speaking, cheap, unkind, unforgiving, unkind. We have a lot of things that we do genetically that we are predisposed to do simply because we're predisposed to do it. I mean, it's just the way we are. and we keep that mischief going. Jesus would have used the word sin. And that's a harsh word in our culture now in a weird way, but it is. And I'm okay with it. It means missing the mark. It doesn't mean you're a terrible person, but the whole idea of being a sinner to the average Christian is just a terrible thing. And it's like calling them some bombastic name that they think is just terrible. So the word mischief, Gregor, just to end this for you, is about my troublemaking, the harm and the trouble I cause you or someone else in order probably to gratify myself and make me feel self-righteous. And righteousness, personal righteousness, is a big one, a really big one. And it causes a great deal of mischief in our life and sets into motion many things that are very painful. Just FYI, Gregor. Thank you for your beautiful email. I really enjoyed your comments that you made, and thank you for watching and listening to Aspire. It moves me. Not many people ever talk about it the way you did and even mention it, and I'm humbly grateful. Please forgive me. Namaste. What a neat, he must be a very fun person to be around. His emails were very, very lively, very, I just well written too. He's a good little writer. All right, the next one comes from Jesse in Sacramento, California. I never know if I'm in my mischief. How can I know if I'm being mischievous? Oh, Jesse, I loved it. You know, a smile went over my face when I saw that. And I thought, how wonderful of you to ask such a neat question. It's hard. It really is. And I'll tell you why it's hard. The unkindness and the mischief, the mean mischief that we see in our world today is no longer considered out of the box. It is stuff that we do naturally in this culture, in this society. It's just the way we are. We live in mischief. Our society is about mischief. Everything is about mischief. We're always doing something self-righteous. We're always doing something for ourselves, wanting to get something into our life that we want, something out of our life that we don't, and we don't care about the means in which we use for either of these two things. Lie, cheat, and steal, it's an art form now in our culture and our society. Certainly is in politics. And I have to admit something here to you. I am very surprised. This is how utterly naive and stupid I am. So if you ever wanted to know how stupid is Greg, well, here it is. I never really realized how many people use politicians as a means of marking the territory in their own life, of mimicking them and seeing them as the moral stature of themselves. I never knew that. I always, even when I was young, really young in my teens, did I ever think a politician was anything more than a self-serving, lying sack of mischief. I never saw it any other way, and I just never got involved in all that because I knew. But come to find out, people really think that these people who are elected are the pillars of the temple. And some even think they are the temple. And they're not. They're just not. So we use these people, a lot of them, as the identifiable source of all morality. And if they see their president or their congressman or whatever, they're lying and they're getting away with it, then they think, oh, well, this is fine. This has been going on and on and on for years and years. It isn't just our current president. It's been going on, I guess, since the day we started in this whole thing of thinking that we're a democracy. So there you are. You and I look for someone to lead the way, someone to be the inspiration of the way and show us how things should be done. in all of that, there is a form of lying, cheating, and stealing, of rationalizing my evil, as I like to call it. And when people are rationalizing their evil, they're thinking in terms of being self-righteous and all that other really fun stuff. And they create for themselves karma, Jesse, and it gets really painful. Now, you'll know when you're in your mischief, when you and I are doing the following things. First, judging other people, okay? Saying, well, they shouldn't be this, and they shouldn't have done that, and they shouldn't be like this, and they shouldn't be like that. When we are judging other people and we are making them the example or the epitome of something lesser than ourselves, then you can know you're in your mischief. And from that point of view of mischief, though, you will go on, if you take it seriously, as though their mischief is not our own mischief. When we are just sitting there thinking to ourselves, well, I'd never do that. I could never be that. Don't they have any other thing to do? Don't they understand how awful they are or what they've done? You can't do that. So when I am judging another person, when I'm thinking that my poop don't stink, when I'm thinking that I have forgiven someone because I have granted them the pen forgiveness thing, you know, where I stick my hand out and I go, you are forgiven, and think that it's done, all of that stuff is mischief. But the greatest mischief we ever get into, the greatest, is the one we do with ourselves quietly that no one knows about. No one sees it but us. It is the mischief of all the forms of hate we can get involved in over and over and over again. Hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. And if you understand that, if you can understand that, then you have the antidote for the mischief. When I am unkind, when I am not willing to just let it all go, my hate, my fear, my anger, that's when I become a mischief maker. And I start all sorts of irresponsible things that I just don't want to believe are a part of my life. I don't want to believe that I'm that mischievous, that harmful. I think in terms of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And I know a lot of people who are like that. I mean, a ton of human beings like that. I have friends, colleagues, family that have lived like that. Part of my family, my cousins, uncles, and aunts that did the same thing. And this hatred just bleeds through. And I've never understood this with people, how we can want mercy and compassion for our own life when we don't have it for the people that we say are beneath us or are harmed us or whatever. Where is the forgiveness? Where is it? I find it fascinating that forgiveness is one of those hateful things, unforgiveness, I should say, is one of those hateful things that we find far more rewarding, gratifying, than we do that of awakening to the fact of being loving and kind. That breaks my heart, my human heart, over and over. It's a good thing to have my human heart broken. It shows me how fragile it is. It is not a durable thing. A lot of our mischief, Jesse, comes from the human heart. And because it gets broken or upset or angry at whatever, because it isn't getting what it wants, the human heart, that is, we do some really mischievous things that set into motion a karma we have no idea exists. And when the karma fulfills itself in different ways in our life, we're so surprised. I always find that interesting with my students. I know them well. I know them very well. I I watch how they think. I watch how they move in their life. I watch what they tell me and what they don't tell me, which is a part of their mischief. And they think I don't know, but I really do know. And yada-da, yada-da, yada-da. It just goes on and on and on. It's just very interesting to me. Anyway, I hope you understand what I've said. I hope I've helped you, Jesse. You know when you're in your mischief because you're doing everything for yourself. It's about self-righteousness. And we do a lot of very ugly things in the name of self-righteousness. I hope that helps, Jesse. Be kind to yourself. Be loving. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Lane. Now, I don't know if Lane is a male or a female. It could be either way. But and Lane did not tell me where she or he is from. It seems that my mischief relates to the feelings of injustice I have about the world. Is that mischief when I feel that the just are not getting what they deserve? Lane, this is a good question. You have to understand something. Everybody's got their karma. Everybody. I have mine, you have yours. And there are many things that we did not resolve in the course of this lifetime. Things that we've said and done that are just useless and unkind. And I know people who hold grudges and will hold grudges till the day they die. They don't have any, in my opinion, common sense about it to let things go and mature. They just can't do it due to their genetic heritage. And I get all that. There is no justice in this world. Lane, you have to understand something. This is not a just world. The bad don't get bad and the good don't get good. This is a world of karma. And everything's a setup for the next experience and the next. What am I going to do when I've been shown mercy? Let's say I've done something and I don't know what it is. It was so far back, I just don't know. I was not aware of it or even cognizant of what it meant. And I just go and do whatever I do. And all of a sudden, one day, I am shown the breath of mercy, of loving kindness from life. And rather than accentuating that loving kindness by being generous and forgiving myself, I choose to berate someone else for whatever I think they've done, or I choose to berate someone for their mistake, or I start to get a high and mighty attitude about myself. And in doing all of this, I think I am just for how I feel, what I think, the way things are. I know a lot of people who do very unkind things as a form of justice. They think, well, you deserve getting that, or you deserve me treating you as such. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. Should I choose to live in that manner, I set into motion laws and principles that come back to me, in many different ways and forms. And it makes my life difficult here and difficult there until I'm so submarined in the course of my life that I can actually feel the sabotage going on, but I can never realize that I'm the one that sabotaged myself. And when I live in such a manner, which most people do, believe it or not, I create for myself a tremendous amount of sorrow and suffering. So, Lane, I would say to you, please, please, give up your righteousness idea. We do not live in a righteous country. As Jeff Daniels said in his beautiful work in Network, we are not the greatest country in the world. We are not the greatest people in the world. We're not great. We don't do things that serve humanity and humankind. We do things that serve our ego, our vanity, our pride, our idealism, our beliefs, our philosophies that are personal and have nothing to do with actually the real meaning of what it is to be just, which is to be forgiving and compassionate. What was it Jesus said? Forgive 70 times 70. That's a lot. I'm out of here. Thank you, Lane. Thank you for listening. Lane, please forgive me. I know what I am doing, and I thank all of you who listen. And I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Again, please forgive me, won't you? Please. Namaste.